Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
I want to talk about healing. Everybody say healing. I want to talk about that today, and then we're going to celebrate communion. But I just want to talk about it, and I really felt impressed to go to this actual portion of Scripture in the book of James, chapter 5. And let's start reading, I think it's in verse 13. And then we'll just spend a bit of time talking about this, and then we'll move on. James chapter 5 and verse 13. It's just important to understand where the church is at this moment in time. And when I mean church, I'm talking about where's the Christian church at this moment in time. And so Jesus has already ascended up to be at the right hand of God, and the church is going. We would still maybe say that the church is in its infant stages, but Jesus ascended up on high, and when Jesus left, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'll send you my Holy Spirit. And so here you read in the book of Acts, you know, from the second chapter on, you see how that things really began to happen the way Jesus said they were. When Jesus was upon the earth, he told his disciples, he said, the works that I do, you'll do those works, and greater works than those will you do when I go to my Father. He told the disciples and told his followers in Mark chapter 16, he said, these signs will follow those that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. They pick up any deadly thing, if they step on a bull snake. No. He talked about some things, and I'm going to clue in on the healing side. And he talked about the fact that in these signs will follow those that believe, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And of course, he in that portion of Scripture, he doesn't mention anointing with oil, but he just said they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And what we see is then in the early church, already we see how that they began to do that. And, you know, Peter and John, remember the guy at the gate called Beautiful, was healed. And we saw incredible things take place. We saw Paul that when he was on his missionary journey, when he went to the island of Miletus, literally a snake bit him and they thought he was going to die. And he didn't die. God healed him. Paul was healed more than one occasion from the riots. Just got the stuffing beat out of him. And they saw that, you know what? It's working. What Jesus said would happen was happening. Life was happening. Lives are being transformed. And here now, when James, the first bishop of Jerusalem, was writing this, he was writing this to Christian believers, but he's reflecting. The church has already been going. Jesus had already risen from the dead. Jesus was already at the right hand of God. The church had been going for a few decades when John wrote this. And so what we find is we have insight now of how the church began to do some stuff. And this particular thing, he said, is anyone among you suffering? He said, let him pray. How many of you know prayer is a good thing, right? Sometimes people have this idea about prayer that, man, does it really work? I just want to encourage you, it does work. Amen. He said, is any one of you joyful or cheerful? He said, let him sing songs. And verse 13 is kind of a cool verse for me because that last part says, is anyone among you cheerful? Then let him sing songs. And I just like to think of it this way. What's on the inside needs to work itself to the outside. Isn't that right? We years ago, there was a song that we sang, and, you know, it just shows you kind of how old I am, I guess. But we'd sing this in youth group because it was a chorus. And when I grew up, you sang hymns in church. And us young people, we were kind of out on the edge and we'd sing a chorus. And, right. And so now, isn't that amazing how that's kind of flip-flopped? But, well, I guess youth don't sing hymns anymore. But youth, do you know what a hymn is? I guess that was good. Anyhow, there was a chorus that we sang, and it was, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And then as that kind of got old, even in my lifetime, we only sang that at camp, right? Then you'd go, ah, ha, 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 ha. Turn to your neighbor and laugh. Ha, 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 ha. You're right. We'd do that, and we'd laugh and whatever. But what was interesting is every once in a while, because we had church on Sunday night, too. And so we'd sing that in church on Sunday night. And it was interesting to watch the adults. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How many of you are happy in the Lord? I am. James says, if you're joyful, if you're cheerful, sing. Bigger paraphrase. What's on the inside, let it get to the outside. There's some Christians that are Christian by their words, but I'm just not certain it's to the outside yet because they look like they're baptized in pickle juice. Got this old soured up look on their face. It's like, and you want me to have what you have. If I have what you have, I'm going to look like you look. Right? I don't know. Has nothing to do with healing, but I think it's a good point anyhow. What's on the inside, Christians? Let's get to the outside. Now, verse 14. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. I want to talk about healing for a moment, and I just felt impressed of the Lord to go to this portion of Scripture and talk about this sacrament, this rite of the church, this thing that's available to us as believers that God created. Now, Jesus said that you'll lay hands on the sick to believers, and those that believe in my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. There's nothing special about these hands. Some people think that, well, I need a pastor to pray for me. I need a minister to pray for me. And while I appreciate maybe the respect that's inherent in maybe meaning of that, there's really nothing special about my hands. There's nothing, Pastor Rex's hands, there's nothing really special about his hands in the sense that intrinsically they're worth more than anybody else's hands. Because Jesus said, those that believe, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. How many of you know your hands are just as special? And I'll tell you why. Because God gets in the middle of things like these, right? How many of you know it's not up to us in the sense of we're the ones that create the thing to happen? How many of you know if God doesn't show up when anybody lays hands on anybody, we're all in trouble, right? And so it says, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for these elders of the church. Let him anoint him with oil. Back in that, in that region, olives were grown and they used olive oil. Is there anything magical about olive oil, let's say, over canola oil? No, it's just that's a bring over from the Old Testament. Anointing with oil, laying hands on an anointing with oil was something that made its way into the New Testament church because it's something that we see God instituting clear back in the Old Testament with his children. And so let him call for the elders of the church and anoint him with oil. And I'll just tell you, this oil that's in here is olive oil. It's kind of in a, you know, foo-foo bottle type of a deal. It's in a smaller bottle just so that we don't have a quart of oil sitting up here. But it's Kirkland brand. And it's olive oil. You know, there's nothing necessarily special about it. It's just probably in keeping with what, you know, they used in Bible times. They used olive oil. And so healing, we have to ask ourselves the question. Because I had a discussion with somebody a couple years ago about this portion of Scripture, and it was interesting their take on it. They just thought that this idea was to salve this illiterate group of people, this ancient kind of culture that really wasn't up to snuff. And I was so perplexed at that talk that the person kind of just then felt like laying down the hands today is kind of just an old thing that an ancient people group used to do. And, you know, the reason it says for the elders of the church to do that is because the people had to have an authority figure to look to. And you know, when they got hands laid upon it, it kind of made them believe like everything was going to be okay. My response was nothing could be further from the truth. God gets in the middle of natural things and really shows up and does stuff. Amen. I mean, so they asked me, they said, so you really believe it? I was just dumbfounded by the conversation because they were, quote, Christian. I'm like, well, so what's part of the Bible? What rest of the Bible do you not believe? You know, is it just an angel? I mean, I guess from one side, people really do need to solve those questions. Is this just an ancient book that was to a very simple group of people? Is that what it's all about? No. Is it ancient? Yes. It's ancient in the sense of been around for a long time. But I believe, it's living. And it's just as alive today and powerful today, filled with God today, as it was the day it was penned. Amen? So this thing of healing, we have to ask ourselves a question. So does God still heal today? I mean, the only reason they had that back then is because they didn't have hospitals. I mean, you hear that? Yeah. So it's as if there's a divergence, or as if there's this competition, or as if there's this non-mixing of medicine and faith. There's people that have that idea that you can't mix the two. Why not? Seriously, why not? And how does medicine fit in the whole picture of things? Does God like doctors? Does God like medicine? Some of you aren't for sure. Some of you are sure. Some of you aren't sure. Yes, He does. How do you know that? How many of you know man didn't discover the things that we've discovered about the human body because we're just so sharp? Knowledge comes, Scripture's very clear. Knowledge comes from who? It comes from God. God very easily could have just set it up that man would never figure out their bodies. And that the real deep stuff about understanding just wouldn't happen. But guess what? I believe that the advances that we see in medical science and the stuff that think about the last 100 years. To me, that just is a proof positive that God loves people. And He wants to help people. Physically? Yep. Why? It's part of our salvation. The prayer of faith will save the sick. That word save, the same idea and the same principle, the same word when it talks about are you saved. What does that mean? Salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is not just the forgiveness of our sins. It's not just that. Listen, if it was just that, we still could be thankful. Isn't that right? Sin separates us from God. So if that's all that God meant in salvation was, all right, listen, I ain't doing anything else for you. I'm just going to forgive your sins and that's it. How many of you know our only response could be, well, thank you, God. But that's not who God is and that's not what God has done. He's saved / redeemed mankind in our entire being. Everybody say entire being. What do you mean by that, Pastor? We're made up of, now listen, when we live life, we do it like this, but only for teaching purposes do we separate. Who are we as human beings? Are we just like any other living creature? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that from a physical perspective, we're alive, we have a system that pumps blood and all that sort of stuff as other, let's say, animals. So there's similarities. But man's completely different in this perspective. Essentially, the essence of man is we're a spirit. Everybody say a spirit. That means there's a side to man that what we say, and Scripture tells us, that will live eternally, either with God or apart from God, right? We'll either be with Him or we'll be apart from God. But spiritually, we're going to be here forever. Okay? How do you know that? We're created in the image of God and He's eternal. Okay? So, we can be with God or without God. So, what happens in salvation spiritually? Well, you're not remodeled. You don't get a new fresh coat of paint spiritually. How many of you know you become a new creation in Christ Jesus? In fact, the Greek word is very specific. There's two words that we translate new into English. So when we hear the word new, N-E-W, we think, well, new. We understand what new is. But in the Greek, there's nuances of meaning. One of the words that's used as new is renewed. The other word that's used as new as never, it means never existed before. And when it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It's not creature. He's a new creation. That word is brand new, never existed before. Well, what part of us is brand new? I don't know about you. When I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, a new body didn't come and a new mind didn't come. So what did become brand new? It's my spirit, right? Secondly, we have this thing that we call a soul. That's the seat of our mind, will, and emotions. Now, that's our spirit and soul are really intertwined. For teaching purposes, it's good to define the two. It really is. But it says in Hebrews that it's only the Word of God that can divide us under between spirit and soul. Okay? So here's the thing. Our mind, our will, our emotions, the thinking side of you. How has salvation redeemed that? How has the salvation of God, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how has that affected man? Is it just the forgiveness of our sins? No, it's not just the forgiveness of our sins. We have the ability, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself to God, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service, so that you can experience that God's will is both good, perfect, and acceptable. You get down to verse 2 and 3, it says that you be transformed. Transformed, you know this word? Transformed is the Greek word metamorphi. It means we know that. Metamorphosis. How many of you know a cutworm or a worm doesn't turn into a butterfly just like that. What is it? It's a process. That larva becomes this worm. That worm then, you know, gets to a certain spot. Then it spins this cocoon around itself. And then something really funky takes place on the inside of that thing. And then all of a sudden out comes this beautiful butterfly. But it's a process. It takes time. So in our soulish realm, we have the ability to change the way we think. Why is that important? Because you act based upon what you think. Right? So if there's destructive habits, we gotta change our thinking. And so we can become a different, if I could say it this way, that metamorphosis, and that's the side, this way, this is the side, Old Testament, you're creating the image and likeness of God. Here's the thing. The image of God, you're creating that. That's a deal like that, your spirit. We grow into the likeness of God by being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now listen, I wish it was different. I really do wish, I've wished that God would just give us a new USB drive. And that part of when you get born again, to open up your package, there's a new way of thinking. And just plug it in. Wouldn't that be cool? Your old destructive thoughts, those thoughts that you grew up with, that you're no good, that you're this, that, or the other, that you can't overcome, you can't do this, those things, the propensity to look at pornography, the propensity to look at other destructive habits, drugs or whatever, wouldn't it just be wonderful if you just got a new USB port and God just said, all right, now it's going to take you just a few minutes for the download, but here we go. Oh, that would be wonderful. But how many of you know it doesn't happen that way? But here's the thing, we're not stuck. We don't have to just accept, well, this is just how I am. I just continually sabotage myself. Well, that's how you are, but you don't have to stay that way. You can change. Well, I'm just insecure. Oh, you may be, but you don't have to stay that way. You can get secure in God. How? Through metamorphosis. Well, what does that look like? Well, now here's the cool thing. God does what we can't do. I can't make myself a new creation. God does that. But how many of you know, since God gave us the greatest gift, it's called the gift of choice. If I want to just choose to think the same way and to be the same way, God's not going to override that and say, no, bless God, you're born again. I'm going to change you. He's going to say, listen, change, full change is available to you, but it's up to you to grab a hold of it. Paul said, you be transformed. What does that mean? If I'm going to renew my mind, guess what? I'm going to have to get into the Word. I'm going to have to read. Just heard some guys going, oh, great. I'm going to have to read. Okay, if you don't like to read, listen to it. On audio, do something. We've got to begin to change the way we think. How do you change the way we think? You got to come up with a different set of words. Amen? The Bible says you're more than a conqueror in Him. Your brain goes, your parents told you, you're not ever going to amount to anything. Okay, so what are you going to believe? It's up to you what you're going to believe. God's not going to change your belief. Are you with me? Some of you got this scowl on your face. You either don't like the preaching or you don't understand it. One of the two. We've got to get engaged. Okay, now, how's our third part of our being, our physical part? Man's the only one of God's creation that can communicate in the natural and spiritual. Man's the only one that can do that. I don't know of any dog that can. Okay, I'll be honest, I'm not a dog, so I really don't know for sure, but I know this. Scriptures talk about the fact that man is God's highest form of creation. We can communicate with God spiritually, but we live here on this earth. And we can function here on this earth pretty well, right? So much so that that's why man is able to dominate all of creation. Okay? So where does salvation affect our physical body? Or did he just say, look, I'm going to redeem you and I'm going to give you the ability to maybe change the way you think, but you know, when it comes to your health, you're on your own. Okay? If God would have said that, we still would have to respond with great thanks to God for what he's done. Are you with me? But that's not the character of God. In other words, when God starts something, he takes it the whole way and finishes it. So that there's redemption for mankind that includes every part of us, spirit, soul, and body. So what are you saying? That we can just walk around and never get sick? Oh, I never said that at all. I'm just saying this, that when it comes to your physical body, how many of you know that we got some place to go for help? Help in which ways? Oh, in a ton of ways. In case you've never thought of this, listen, I believe that man needs to participate in their healing just as much as man has to participate in their transformation in their soulish realm. What do you mean by that? Okay, we joke about this, but listen, I can't have a diet of Dr. Pepper and Twinkies 24/7 and then expect to walk around in health. Why? Because you know what? God created us with a brain. I watched a centenarian show and it was really kind of funny. There was this lady from down south. She was like 104 and they said, what are your secrets? She said, smoke a cigar every day. Okay, so we can look at it. Well, she smoked a cigar every day. I'm going to smoke guitars and live. Smoke guitars. Smoke cigars. I'm going to smoke cigars and I'll live to 104. Well, maybe. Probably not. I mean, you know, healing is a broad deal. And I'm not going to go into all the deals of healing other than to say this. Healing, the idea for God to redeem mankind in all of our being, is not a wild concept. It isn't one of these things. And I know every time you talk about healing, there's always a tension that instantly goes in the crowd, and it's because of this. People instantly go to tragic situations. Well, that person was 20 years old, and we prayed for him, and they died. Right? As if to say, so therefore it's not God's, da-da-da-da-da. Right? Listen. I stand before you. My daddy died at 37 years old, 4 children. That's too young. That's tragic. Amen? I was 6 years old. If anybody, I'm not just saying this on a boastful side, but I'll just say this. If anybody has an argument to say, because I get this on, how could a God of love allow that to happen? You know what? I could have very easily ended up being at worst an atheist, maybe at best an agnostic. And just, I could have very easily, oh, don't talk to me about a God of love. He took my daddy. Because that's the prevalence that's out there, that God's in charge of all of these things. Listen, God didn't take my daddy. Then I hear, well, then who did? Wasn't God. God's not into that. What God is into, in the midst of tragedy, if we'll turn to him, he'll help us get through those horrible things. God didn't orchestrate the death of my dad to teach some little 6-year-old boy a lesson about God. Are you with me? God doesn't do that. Jesus, you'd say, prove it. It's very easy to prove. Very easy to prove. Acts 10:38. Jesus went about doing good and healing all manner of sickness and disease. So listen, if sickness and disease were God's will and tools that God used to teach people stuff, then his own son went against God's will. Jesus went about doing good and healing all manner of sickness and disease. So if it's from God, you got a real problem then looking at the life of Jesus, because he went about undoing what God supposedly was to do, to use this idea of sickness and disease to teach people lessons. That's not the God we serve. It's not the God that I can come up with in the Bible. Jesus went about doing good. Every person that came to Jesus in terms of sickness and disease, not one person did Jesus look at them and say, no, not you. Not one of them did he say, oops, oh, ooh, ooh. Say Durrett was one of those people, and Durrett came to Jesus back at the Bible times, man, I need to be healed of this. Not one case did Jesus ever say to anybody that came to him, nope, sweetheart, I know you don't understand, but this is my will for you to have this. And it will kill you, but just keep your questions at a low. Not one time. Jesus was the expressed will of God. He showed us in his life the love of God. God cares when people hurt physically. So, I know you're going, all right, so then you explain why your dad died. Why do you explain the teenage children you've buried? Why can you explain the children that you've buried? I'm just going to be real honest with you. I don't understand everything. That's not good enough for Americans, though. Really isn't. Because the American mindset says we got to know it all. There's a whole lot into it. I'll just know this. Listen, God's good, the devil's bad. Sickness doesn't come from heaven. Are you with me? Okay. So do we understand Pastor Rex came here and just a few years after he was here, 3 years after he was here, he buried his wife at 51 years old. That's young. Becky had a lot to do in life alongside Pastor Rex. Are you with me? So why did she die, Pastor? You know, why didn't God heal her? Why did that, you know, there's just some things on this side of glory. We'll just never get it all figured out. Are you with me? But let me just help you with an argument in your brain that can help you. Any of you ever shared Jesus with somebody that thought that, well, that's cool for you, but I don't believe in it? Anybody? Oh, I've said at the bedside of young people and old people that went ahead and died, and their last words to me were, you know what? I do not believe in the God that you serve. I do not believe in that God, because if he was a God of love, he wouldn't let all the wars and let all the whatever. Are you with me? And curse God and then go on into eternity. I'm not the judge, but probably without God. Are you with me? Now let me ask you just a question. Can we take the same argument principle and say, as some Christians do, well, God obviously doesn't want to heal people, because I prayed for so-and-so and they died. So that's proof positive that God doesn't want to heal people. Okay, let's use that argument. If that's true, then you also have to use the same argument to the person that you shared Jesus with and they never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and went ahead and died and went to hell. Then you'll have to use the same argument and say, so therefore, God must not all want all people to go to heaven. Because I shared Jesus with so-and-so and they died. I'm not prepared to go there. Are you? Do I understand why you could share the gospel with somebody that doesn't believe in Christ? Do I understand how that you could share it with them clearly and all of that stuff and pray for their salvation? And then honestly look at you and go, you know what? I just think it's a fantasy land. I don't believe it. No, I don't believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of... No, I don't believe that anybody born of a virgin, you've got to be kidding. No, I don't believe that there even is this thing called a God. I don't understand how somebody could really come up with that and just look at you point blank and say, you know, I think it's just all cockamamie. But am I going to then change my theology and say, well, therefore, God must not want all people to go to heaven? When Scripture's very clear, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to preach that till the day I die. I don't care how many people look at me and say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm still going to preach it. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm still going to lay hands on people and anoint them with oil and encourage them that God cares about their physical health and God wants to heal your body. I'm going to do that till the day I die. Why? Because I believe we've been redeemed. And I believe that the love of God proves and shows and compels us and encourages us to take part of stuff like this. Listen, I encourage you, don't get messed up on medical science. Is medical science and faith at odds with one another? No. Look at the big picture. God wants you well. Let's just get well. So how do we get well? Does it happen just by prayer? Yeah, it can happen by prayer, but it also can happen by not drinking so much Dr. Pepper. And we're not going to go there. Because somebody will say, but it's prune juice. It's like, are you with me? We're not going to go down a nutritional deal. But you know what? Maybe part of our healing is going to come by us getting on our face, not only before God in prayer, but also maybe getting into some sort of books and maybe learning a little bit about eating different. I don't know. Are you with me? Maybe then we could kind of cooperate with God a little bit. Okay, some of you are in agreement. Some of you are mad. That's okay. The sacrament of laying on of hands and anointing with oil is powerful. It's real. You've heard me say, if you've been here for any amount of time, with every sacrament of the church, there's an accompanying anointing. Sacrament being something in the natural that speaks to a greater spiritual truth that has the power to do something. Whether you've realized it or not, some of you entered into the sacrament of worship this morning. Some of you didn't. Some of you sang, but some of you didn't enter in. Can you be so bold and say that, Pastor? Yeah. Because we've all done it. The thing is that entering into the sacrament of worship, when we come together and we sing and we worship God, we lift up our voices and begin to praise God. What is that? Something in the natural that speaks to something greater spiritually. What's the greater spiritually? The greater spiritually is this. And I don't know what goes through your brain when you come in here on a Sunday morning and sing with us. And you're encouraged by Rob to worship the Lord. So I don't know how that hits you, but how it hits me. The instant I open up my voice, you know what I see myself? I see myself just mentally. In my brain, I see myself joining heaven. What we know is that heaven, 24 hours a day, worship is going up around the throne. And I endeavor with every fiber of my being to not just sing the song, but to enter into worship. So what does it do for you? Does it have the power to change you? It absolutely does. Jesus said that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, He's ordained strength or perfected praise. The two go hand in hand. I can come in here on a Sunday morning. I can feel like life is beating the stuffings out of me. I can come in here maybe depressed. I can come in here maybe even physically sick. And I can choose to enter that sacrament of worship and begin to lift up my voice to God. Forget about myself. Forget about everything else. I can begin to praise God. I can begin to see God for who He is and worship Him in spirit and truth. And listen, when I'm done, I can be changed. I can be strengthened physically. I can be strengthened emotionally. I can literally be healed. It's not uncommon for people to enter into that sacrament of worship and for the healing power of God to touch their body. And they come in pain, filled with pain. And all of a sudden, when the service is done, they go, wow, it's gone. Only stands to reason. With every sacrament, there is the anointing, listen, that's potentially available. When I say potentially available, what I mean is, you can come in and just sing if you want. And maybe you like the melody, maybe you don't, maybe you like the feel of the song, maybe you don't. We can just come in, do our deal, sing, not sing, whatever, and no change takes place. Or we can choose to enter into that sacrament, and we can choose to enter and tap into the anointing of God's Spirit, and something happened. We baptized people around here just a few weeks ago. People can go into our horse trough. They can go in dry, come out wet, nothing happens. And people could say, see, water baptism isn't any big deal. No, it really is no big deal for those that want to tap into the anointing of God. It really isn't a big deal. Go in dry, come out wet, get your towel dried, and there you go. You got your certificate in the mail, you're good to go. Or you can approach those waters knowing you're dry, knowing you're going to get wet, but tapping into the power of God and say, you know, God, I don't know exactly how to do this, but I receive everything you got for me. And you can come out of those waters wet and changed by the power of God. And that person go out and go, man, I tell you what, I lived my life a certain way before I was baptized. When I got baptized, heaven bent low, kissed the earth. I got caught in the middle of the smack. Wow! Water baptism's powerful. Other people can go and dry and come out. Well, didn't do anything for me. What, was it God or was it us? Amen. So I'm not saying that you pray and or somebody anoints you with oil and you don't get healed, that it's all you. I'm not going to put that kind of stuff on you, but I'm going to say this. We have to look at ourselves. Would you agree with that? We can come forward. We've all done it. We've come forward. We've had somebody anoint us with oil and we've left with an oily forehead. That prayer stuff doesn't work. But I don't know about you. I've also experienced the power of God touch my body. And whether I felt anything or not, I can walk away and go, wow. I maybe even go to the doctor and they go, I had some tests done about a year ago. Best that they say yes. They say, we just believe that the first tests that you had done were wrong. Okay, you can believe that if you, they can believe that if they want. I believe the first test that were done was right, but the next test in between the first test and the next test, God touched my physical body. Well, it's just a matter of belief. Okay, cool. I choose to believe that because I believe that the prayer of faith works. I believe that Jesus still heals today. Amen. Any medical person worth their weight in true self-awareness will say this. We know a certain amount. We can prove a certain amount of things. But one thing that we can't fully explain is the details of why some things work and bring about a complete healing transformation in their bodies. I think it's simple for the believer. It's God.
Well, you can't prove it. You know what?
I think I can prove it through Scripture.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.